Okay. Good afternoon, everyone in the audience and anyone listening at home. This is a meeting of the Title Setting Board pursuant to Article 40 of Title 1 CRS. It's 1 p.m. on December 17th, 2014. We're meeting in the Secretary of State's Aspen Room at 1700 Broadway, Suite 200, Denver, Colorado. We have two issues today, and the Title Setting Board is going to consist of only two members for the first issue, which is a rehearing of proposed initiative 2015-16 number 5 concerning recall of officers. Those two people are myself, Jason Gellender, an attorney with the Office of Legislative Legal Services, and the designee of Dan Cardin, the director of that office. To my right is David Blake, Deputy Attorney General, designee of Attorney General John Southers. When we get to the second item on our agenda, initiative number 4, Suzanne Stairt, the Deputy Secretary of State, designee of Secretary of State Scott Gessler, will also be joining us. As we set the titles today, remember there are two titles for each measure. The first one, the statement. The second, a ballot and submission clause. Changes to the first will be considered for the second. If there's anyone in the room who wishes to testify, there's a sign-up sheet on the back table. This hearing is being broadcast over the Internet on the Secretary of State's website. And our procedures are as follows. For when we're considering an initiative for the first time, which will be the case for the second item on our agenda, we first might ask questions, then we'll determine if we have jurisdiction to set a title. In particular, we have to determine whether the measure complies with the single subject rule prescribed in the Colorado Constitution and statutes. We don't have jurisdiction to set a title for anything that contains more than one subject. And then if we do determine that we have jurisdiction, we'll use a staff-prepared draft for discussion purposes and work from that. A decision is reached by two of the three members of the board, and we're all here, and in this case, for the first one, both of us, since only two are here, and that is a quorum. With that, do the proponents of number 5 for the rehearing want to come up and fill us in?
But, oh yeah, brighter green. Okay, well, we were here a week or so ago and ran into some issues on whether or not this is a single subject or not. And so we did send in a response that covered some of the ideas on why this may be a single subject. I assume you both had a chance to take a look at that?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. And then we have some additional information, but did you have any questions to start?
I do not.
No, I don't think so. Not at this point.
Okay. So you just go ahead and approve it at this point then?
Why don't you put into the record your arguments for today?
Do you want to do that? You don't mean that?
Do you want that read?
Oh, no. You don't have to read it, but just is there, I mean, if you'd like us.
Show me. You said you supplied a statement. I'm familiar with that. I read it. You said, and then some additional materials. What were the additional materials?
What I took it to mean, you said
were you,
well,
were
we,
you,
we, sure we have a sure suggested have title, but we're not ready to go to that yet.
Okay.
And then, let's go through this response, and then we can talk about that. It's something that we came up in the ruling that might be relevant.
Okay.
So.
You can go ahead. You want me to go ahead?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Summarize.
Basically, in the what we find is that we believe the justices and actually I am going to jump to okay. I'm going to jump to this in the ruling for the Supreme Court from our previous attempt. If you look at page 17 in the footnotes, and I'll wait till you get to that. And you'll see there, Hayes refers to Philip Hayes, the objector, had mentioned or brought forth the concern that recall of judges was a separate subject from recall of non-elected officers. again, we originally interpreted the Constitution to currently read that it does cover certain government officers that qualify within that, the existing text. But what it says here is, in the second sentence, what the Supreme Court says is that they are do not, need not, and do not decide this issue. So basically what, between what they ruled on at that point and what we feel at, with our current language, which we have removed the appointed officials, whether that's a judge, before they've been retained, or as an example, the head of CDOT or something along that case, we have removed that question. And we feel that, in essence, they're really, what we are stating, obviously, in our language is that once they have faced a retention election, and we truly believe that that does make them an elective officer. And there is, in Colorado, we don't have a single direct object rule. And if we were to look at further examples of why we believe this applies, is that if we had a vacancy in, let's say, a state house, whether for whatever reason there's a vacancy, that person is filled by the vacancy committee per state statute and that party committee's bylaws, that they are considered an elected officer at that point, even though they are in a vacancy. So we believe we've taken some language that maybe just, well, we didn't think it was actually unclear, but I've cleared it up that once a judge goes through an election, they become an elective officer, and we feel that if, especially based on the Supreme Court saying that they really hadn't taken a stance on that position before, that we believe that this should, does fall a class, qualify as a single subject and should be put forward to, basically allow somebody from the public to challenge that if they feel it is not a single subject, but we shouldn't make the presumption that the Supreme Court has already ruled on this because we don't believe that they have.
Yeah, specifically in the footnote, it says that we need not and do not decide this issue. So that means the title board is not bound by a previous Supreme Court ruling because they did not decide the issue as to whether or not the right to recall judges is separate and distinct subject from the right to recall non-elected officials. They just looked at the non-elected versus elected. And we've addressed that with the new thing. So that's a key point that we wanted for you. And of course, the other thing is that there are offices where people are appointed and then later elected, like the judges, and those people are, you know, the treasurer, whatever, they're obviously subject to the recall.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up on that footnote just a little bit. The concern I have here is I think you may be making a distinction without necessarily making a difference, because even if they haven't decided this issue, there's only two ways they could decide that issue. They could say that, well, judges are not a separate and distinct subject from non-elected officers, in which case they'd fall under non-elected officers and would be part of that second subject. So you'd still have a two-subject problem with your initiative. The second alternative is they'd find it is a separate and distinct subject, and then you've got yet another subject.
The third thing is they could find that the justices are an elected official after retention elections, in which case they're part of this single subject.
Okay. And if that's the case, let's talk about one of your other arguments, which I think may cut against you a little bit, is you made the case that if someone's elected and then subsequently there's a vacancy, and this is an elected office, the fact that it's filled by a vacancy committee doesn't change the nature of that office. And you're citing that sort of in support of your proposition, but it seems to me like it might cut the other way, in that because a judge is initially appointed, the fact that they're subsequently retained doesn't change the nature of that office.
Right. You could interpret it that way.
I go to the opinion itself, which is relevant to the footnote, where it says, likewise, the governor appoints justices to the Supreme Court. Justices, blah, 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 they are not subject to recall election. That's the distinction, and I think you make it in page 2 of your statement, where you say the distinction was solely between elective and appointive. I think the opinion points out that judges are appointed. You've made the argument that I understood from last time, which I think is a fine argument, and I don't say that the opinion necessarily is definitive or specifically addresses whether or not the office of the judicial office fundamentally changes its character. Right. Upon retention, which is your position. Your position is they are appointed up until a point. Once retained, they are elected. And right. This was my question to you last time does the court reach that, and where's the support for that? You're pointing me to a different thing, which says they don't reach really judges at all. But right. I think the comparison of appointed officials with the word likewise, where the court then goes into judges, does in fact tell me that the court has spoken largely to whether or not a judge is an appointed official or whether or not a judge is an elected official. And so for me, I'm still where I was the other day when we spoke, which is the question that the court may not have reached specifically is your point.
Right.
You perceive it for that office to change substantively from appointed to elected because of a retention vote.
Right.
It's not an election, right? You can't put new people on the ballot. There aren't more than one where you elect. You choose between one or the other, which is my understanding of the word election. It is a choice, essentially. They're appointed, and then, you know, it is in some ways a quasi-recall to say I choose not to retain you. I understand it's not a recall the way you guys want it.
But I understand the analogy.
And so, like, your statements about that they cannot be removed and these other things, I'm not sure are – they may not be removed in the fashion that you want them to be removed, that is, by a recall election. I think there are mechanisms whereby they can be removed from office. But I don't see – you said a kind of distinction without a difference, maybe. Maybe that's not what you said, but that's kind of what I heard. Mm-hmm. I think I agree with that. There is a distinction between an elected official, that is somebody who the public chooses, and an appointed official. I think the court makes it clear that judges are appointed. They do not say that the office fundamentally changes upon a retention vote. And therefore, I think that the dual subject finding of the opinion remains intact, and I do believe it binds me. That's my position.
Well, and they did not specifically say that, you know, what we're arguing, that once a judge is elected, they're an elected official, or once they go through a vote, they're an elected official. They didn't say that, but they also address specifically. They said that the right to recall judges is a separate and distinct subject, or, you know, that Hayes contended that is a separate and distinct subject. And they said, we need not and do not decide this issue. So they did not decide that issue, whether that was a separate subject. And so you're not bound as a title board to say that's already been decided.
I understand your point. They didn't have to reach it because they found that
there
was a dual subject based on another thing, which is something that you certainly have addressed, and I don't have to say whether or not you did or didn't on that because I'm focusing on a different point.
Right.
I do think the opinion itself draws that analogy between an appointed official, which you acknowledge and have corrected your proposal, and judges in the opinion that cites the footnote, and I think that is binding. We can happily disagree, you know, agree to disagree about what the extension or how much a binding of this body there is, but that's my read of the opinion, and there's no doubt that the Supreme Court opinion binds us. And if I'm reading that correctly, then I am bound. And reasonable people, you know, disagree all the time about what the scope of a court opinion means, but that's my understanding of it, and I don't think I can step outside of that.
Yeah, and I agree with everything you just said, so I think unless there's anything else, I'm ready for a motion.
I would motion that there remains a dual or more than one subject in proposal number 5, and therefore we cannot exercise jurisdiction and move to setting a title.
Okay. And with that, well, it's first, second, and I'd just add to the motion, and therefore we deny the motion for rehearing. And all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And that's 2-0. The motion for hearing rehearing is denied.
Okay.
Can I just make sure we then the next step that we can take is it 5 days to file with the Supreme Court?
I believe it's seven.
Seven
but
days?
The statute is 140-107.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you both.
Natalie, you want to check with the clerk of the court?
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Okay. The next item on the agenda is an initial hearing on proposed initiative 2015-16, number 4, concerning public trust resources. And I'm sorry, actually, we have to wait a little bit for the Deputy Secretary of State to arrive. Do we want to go off the tape for a bit, Steve?
I think she's probably on her way up, but let's go ahead.